Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
92.9 Podcast, powered by Action 24/7. Tennessee's only local legal sportsbook. Bet now at Action247.com. 92.9 FM ESPN presents the area's only national columnist who spends his afternoons bringing unique perspective to Memphis radio. He'll make you think. He'll make you laugh. He'll sometimes make you change the station if children are around. And he apologizes in advance for that. It's 4 o'clock. Let's get into it. This is the Gary Parrish Show.
My name is Gary Perry, speaking to you from Memphis, Tennessee. Bennett Doyle's producing the program. Glad he's with me. Glad you're with me. Hope you're getting through the day best you can.
Her daddy lost most everything on horse, whiskey, and wedding rings.
I hope you didn't get sucked into Big Bet Bennett's mistake last night.
Damn it.
Inside Simmons Bank Memorial Stadium.
Well, not yet. It was still Liberty Bowl last night.
The people at Simmons Bank, they seem like
good folks.
They seem like good folks. They're spending a lot of money in our city. If I'm jumping the gun a little bit, fine. I'm going to get them their money's worth to whatever extent I'm capable of doing it. At Simmons Bank Memorial Stadium, as far as I'm concerned, I don't need an official announcement. And Big Bet Bennett, he told you that he had already locked in Navy plus 11.5. Didn't work out. Didn't work out for Big Bet Bennett.
It did not.
The Tigers improved to 4-3, stay on pace to qualify for a bowl game, to avoid a losing season, which would be the first one since 2013. We're going to talk Tiger football here in a second. First, though, quickly, let me set this afternoon's schedule for you. 425, Dan Walken's going to join me, National Commerce USA Today. Talk to him about a number of things, including Kevin Durant last night acknowledging that he and Kyrie Irving ain't really talking anymore. And he doesn't think there's any point in reaching out to Kyrie. He said, quote, "It's not like I'm going to change his mind. We're ready to just move on, and if he comes back, that's great. We have him. That's wonderful. But I'm just going to show up and do my job." So there does seem to be some sort of awkwardness, at the very least, awkwardness in that relationship. Talk to Dan Walken about it. He's going to be here in the next segment. When I finish that, I'll take a break, come back, do 4 notable stories at 4:44, which one I'll discuss 4 previously undiscussed stories. Among them, the Dodgers beat the Giants last night 2-1 to advance to the NLCS. But the victory did not come without controversy. Terrible call and a check swing by Wilmer Flores ended things. Shame on Gabe Morales for ripping a chance of a lifetime away from Wilmer Flores in that moment. Either way, it's going to be Dodgers Braves in the NLCS. We'll get into that around 4:44. ALCS gets underway tonight. Red Sox Astros down in Houston. I'll get you ready for that a little later on this hour. The NCAA announced earlier today that it is moving toward removing standardized tests as an admission requirement for student athletes. This is something I've been maybe not yelling about, but certainly talking about for a long, long time. It is, of course, the thing that got Memphis's 2008 banner taken down out of FedEx Forum. So it's a good move by the NCAA. If we're going to bang on them every time they do something we don't like, we should give them credit when they do something we do. Today they announced something that I approve on. I'll tell you more about it. just before 5 o'clock, and a teenager in Cordova had her custom-fit van that was holding her $8,000 wheelchair stolen from her driveway this week. This is the second time this young woman has had her wheelchair stolen in her life, which begs the question, Big Bet Bennett, what kind of scumbag steals a kid's wheelchair? Or anybody's wheelchair.
The worst kind.
The worst kind. Isn't the presence of a wheelchair evidence that life is already hard enough?
Yes.
I think so. Either way, it's a sad story with a good ending.
Good.
I'll give you the details during four notable stories at 4:44. 5 o'clock, Jeff Calkins is just like always. Then I will eventually do Dinner to Go. I got a Dateline preview.
Nice.
This is a wild one tonight.
Oh.
Woo! Wild one.
Let's go.
Took me a minute to figure it all out, but boy, I figured it all out. This is a wild one. Let me just give you a preview, okay?
Okay. Oh, my gosh. An early preview of the preview.
It involves a cult.
Oh, I love cult stuff.
I love cult stuff.
I'm a big fan of cult. Well, no, I'm not necessarily a big fan of cults, but cult stories, love.
These people, man, if you get involved in a cult, you have lost your mind.
Yeah.
It is wild how much these people lose their mind.
Yeah, yeah.
You ain't even going to believe what these people did in this cult. This cult is something, boy, and it's a murder mystery.
Ooh.
Maybe. I ain't so sure. I'll tell you about it later. I just wanted to get you pumped up about it. Yeah, so we'll do that, Dinner to Go, and then we'll get on out of here. So that's the rundown. We got a lot to get to, but I did want to start with Memphis football because it was a nice night for the Tigers. Last night inside Simmons Bank Memorial Stadium. Final score, Memphis 35, Navy 17. Big Bet Bennett's plus 11.5 did not cash, and that's because the Tigers, they scored early and often, at least in the first half. They were up 28-10 at halftime, and Navy never really threatened in the second half. Both teams scored touchdowns in the third quarter. Neither team scored in the fourth, so Memphis won by 18 points to improve to 4-3 on the season. Big Bet Bennett, could you enjoy watching the Tigers snap the three-game losing streak, or were you too financially invested in your misguided wager against my alma mater?
Of course I could enjoy. If I was worried about losing money on a bet, then I would be worried for every single day of my life, GP.
No sense in worrying every day of your life, is there?
Yeah, so no. Of course I was excited for them, and I think I just laid that 11.5 just out of my respect for the Naval Academy.
I just wanted to respect the Naval Academy.
Yeah, and it was wrong, obviously, but I was trying to pay my respect.
I've been on campus at the Naval Academy.
Have you? Is
Multiple
it nice?
Times.
It's in Annapolis, right?
Annapolis.
Yeah.
Really impressive people.
Yeah, of course.
I mean, like I'm being sincere. Like,
I believe you.
Totally impressive young people. Like you sit down and you talk to them, and you're like, all right, so what's a typical day like? And they start talking, and you're like, good Lord.
Yeah, when you fly into Baltimore from Memphis, you can see their huge stadium that says Navy, like when you're flying down into I think it's MCA or something.
I'm glad it says Navy. It'd be weird if it said something else, wouldn't it?
No, but it's cool that you can see that from the airplane.
Like if it said St. John's on Navy Stadium, that'd be weird,
that
wouldn't it?
That would be odd, yeah.
It would be like if it said Orioles, you'd be like, well, that doesn't make any sense. So, I've been there multiple times because we had basketball events on the campus. And every time I meet people from there, I got to spend some time with them, just really impressive people. So I understand how you could have a special place in your heart for the Naval Academy, but they couldn't stop Memphis last night. 415 yards of total offense for the Tigers. Navy only had 241. And that is super surprising if you happen to watch Navy's opening possession.
Yeah, no kidding.
what a sight that was.
Wow.
So the game starts last night. Memphis takes a 7-0 lead, 2 minutes and 50 seconds into the game. Seth Hennigan to Sean Dyke, 7-0. So now Navy gets the ball because that's the way football works. And these dudes did a 21-play, 75-yard drive that ate up 11 minutes and 50 seconds of game time. It was the longest drive in terms of time of possession in FBS football this season, and it was a rough look for the Memphis defense.
Yeah.
They couldn't stop them.
No, I mean, my bet was looking pretty good at that point.
My little guys, they had their little buddy Miles from down the street. And so Miles was over.
Mm-hmm.
And so Kelly, like, threw a pizza in the oven for the kids right about the time Navy got the ball. The pizza cooked. It was ready. The kids started eating it. Navy still had the ball. What in the world?
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
We can't get one change of possession while this pizza's cooking?
That's, and the thing is like, when they have been good, like, that's why it was always so frustrating playing against them, because of that.
You feel like you're never going to get the ball back.
Never, right. And all they do is run. They never throw it. Never, not one time.
Neither does Peter Parrish, by the way.
Yeah, he doesn't throw either. No.
We'll get to my little cuss, Peter Parrish, in a minute. So Navy punches it in, 21 plays. It's 7-7 with 20 seconds left in the first quarter. And would you believe Memphis somehow scored again in the first quarter?
Yes, that was unreal.
First and 10 from the 31. They run a reverse with Calvin Austin, and then he just outran everybody.
Yeah, he's pretty good.
Like he always does. He just outruns everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Don't you wish you could just outrun everybody like
that? Of course.
69-yard touchdown as the clock expired in the first quarter. So it's 14-7 Memphis, and the game was never tied again. Memphis held the lead the rest of the contest. Calvin Austin finished with one run for 69 yards. So that yards per carry, that's a great – it jumped up pretty good. Two catches for 20 yards. He didn't have this best night of his career last night, but he's just a really fun player. And by all accounts, a great young man. I feel bad. He was up here a few weeks ago.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's doing his wing guru spot.
Yeah, so he was up here, and I didn't realize it was him.
Why? Because he's short.
He is a little bitty.
Yeah.
I mean, he's a little guy.
Yeah.
And, like, he's even smaller than Jalen Duren.
Yeah, that's true, yes.
Like, noticeably.
For sure. Careful.
So, you know, he had a mask on, and so when I pulled up in the back, he was just sort of hanging out in the back with a mask on, like in the parking lot.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, I didn't even look twice. I thought he might have been somebody's kid. I really thought he was somebody's kid. He looks young. At least he looked young to me.
Yeah.
And so I just like parked my car and I see a guy sort of hanging out in the back of the building. He's got a mask on and I don't think anything of it. And I'm just like hitting with a, hey, what's up? And he hit me back with a what's up and that whatever. And then, I come inside and I got to go. Record some spots. I go into my office for a minute. Then I got to go record some stuff with Dennis. And I walk by, and he's in the hallway. The same guy's in the hallway. Mm-hmm. And I think he's talking, him and somebody else are talking like Brad or maybe mm-hmm. Dan Barron. I don't remember exactly what it was. But I was in such a hurry, I didn't even take a second to figure out what was going on. And then I subsequently realized, well, that was Calvin Austin. And I would have loved to have like said, hey, it's good to see you, and I'm really proud of you. What a career you're carving out for yourself. I would just like to say nice things to him, you know?
Because mm-hmm.
he's like a super impressive young man who's doing incredible things on a football program. And I just walked past him twice like I didn't know him. But it was because I didn't know him.
That's unfortunate.
So I hope I didn't leave a bad impression. If you see Calvin Austin, tell him I didn't mean anything by it. I'd love to like give him a hug and tell him how proud I am of it.
I think he's doing just fine. He's getting paid to do that. So.
I genuinely just didn't realize what was happening. I just saw a little guy in a mask, and it never occurred to me that the little guy in the mask could just run past everybody all the time. But he did it again last night.
Yep.
69-yard touchdown, and that gave Memphis a lead that it would never relinquish. As I'm sure you know, Seth Hennigan did leave the game early. That wasn't fun to see.
No.
But it appears it was mostly precautionary, right?
Yeah, the game was in hand.
Mm-hmm. There ain't no way Navy's coming back on you with 5 minutes trying to run the ball every play, right?
Right.
So that allowed my little cuz, Peter Parrish, to get into the game for a couple of series, and he threw the ball exactly zero times. But he looked great handing it off, didn't he?
He did, yeah.
I mean, he looked good handing it off.
You
got Parrish on the back of his jersey.
That's pretty cool.
I like that.
You need to get one of those.
I'm 100%. It's already in the works.
Yeah.
And me,
I was going to get a Doyle jersey, but then they kind of started switching up their kickers, and I was uncertain.
that kicking situation. Last night also,
last
we're
night
pointing out,
yep.
Kicking fine.
They did good last night.
Zero fumbles.
Yep.
Kicking fine, zero fumbles.
Can we play Navy every week?
Play Navy every week.
And we'll definitely make a bowl game.
100% get into a bowl.
Uh-huh.
Tigers are now 4-3 with 5 regular season games left. And like I said, after that crazy opening drive by Navy only got 166 yards the rest of the way. So whatever Memphis needed to figure out on defense, it eventually did figure it out. Didn't look like it was going to happen early, but it did ultimately happen. So again, 4-3 now with five regular season games left. Memphis is now 74th in the ESPN Football Power Index, and the Tigers are expected to now be favorites in two of their final five games and underdogs in three of the final five. So if they win the ones they're supposed to win and lose the ones they're supposed to lose, they'll finish 6-6. And that should get them in a bowl for the eighth straight year. And that is why, or at least it's among the reasons why, last night's win was so important. Because without it, getting to six wins would have been very, very difficult. Now, getting to six wins is completely doable. In fact, I think it's a likely scenario. And I could appreciate Ryan Silverfield, you know, being transparent about all of this last night in the postgame. You know, he said, quote, let's call it what it is. It's a much-needed win. Even Calvin Austin, acknowledged last night that he and his teammates felt how the conversation was shifting. They understood the importance connected to last night's game. And so then they went out and they took care of it. And now they got a good chance to at least qualify for another bowl game and avoid their first losing record since 2013. I admit that's not great or what any of us hoped or expected. That's not where we set the bar in the preseason. But avoiding your first losing season since 2013 and going to a bowl game for the eighth consecutive year, it's at least better than the alternative.
Yep.
So last night was a nice night, if only because we don't have to spend a day talking about a four-game losing streak. We can spend a day talking about another incredible Calvin Austin play and a Tigers team that is back above 500. I'll talk more about it with Jeff Calkins at 5 o'clock, but when we come back, Dan Walker is going to join me from USA Today. Can Brooklyn actually trade Kyrie Irving? And how worried should Mississippi State be about what Alabama probably going to do to it tomorrow? I'm going to talk to Walker about both of those things next. You're listening to the Gary Parrish Show. We're on 92.9 FM ESPN.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Guests appear on the Smile Center Hotline. Now, back to the Gary Parish Show on 92.9 FM ESPN.
Here come the menaces, the surprise. Dodgers beat the Giants last night with a Cody Bellinger RBI single in the bottom of the ninth. Controversial call to end it. We'll talk a little baseball in the next segment. Jeff Calkins will be here a little after 5 o'clock, but right now, he's National Comics USA Today. It's Dan Walken making the big interview.
Award-winning writers, athletes, coaches, the biggest names in sports. It's the Gary Parish Show Big Interview, presented by The Wing Guru, online at thewingguru.com.
So, Dan, it's been a headline-creating week for the NBA, mostly coming out of Brooklyn. The Nets have announced that Kyrie Irving will not be a part-time participant. If he cannot be there for home games, he will not be there at all. Kyrie responded by jumping on Instagram for 24 minutes and saying a lot of stuff, very little of which made sense. And Kevin Durant last night, when asked, acknowledged that he hasn't talked to Kyrie since the Nets made their decision, and he doesn't have any real interest in trying to convince Kyrie to change his mind because he doesn't think it will do any good. Just your thoughts and on everything that's happening connected to this obviously disruptive Kyrie Irving situation.
Well, it seems to me, and I don't want to necessarily play amateur psychologist, but it seems to me that Kyrie Irving has taken this stance, figured it would all work out. It's backfired on him. He created this narrative to sort of backfill the action that he took, which is not getting the vaccine. And so he tried to create this thing where he's going to be the voice for the voiceless and stand up against vaccine mandates. And it just seems like he's trying to sort of figure out how to manage this, but he just keeps digging deeper every time he opens his mouth. And, you know, he doesn't want to look like he's giving in or doesn't want to look like he's being, you know, told what to do, because I guess just his personality is such that he can't handle that. So I don't know where this goes or how it ends. There are a lot of smart people who think he will ultimately just get the shot and cave in and kind of spin it as him being the victim. And then there's a lot of smart people who really know the NBA who think that he will just not play this season, and or he'll play at some point if the mandate gets lifted. So I don't know. I mean, it just seems to me that he's sort of drowning in his own BS at this point, because I listened to that Instagram Live, the whole thing, and tried to make sense of it, and I just couldn't. I just couldn't make sense of any of it.
Does it interest you at all? Do you think it's notable at all that Kevin Durant last night said, "I haven't talked to Kyrie"? I mean, they have presented themselves as best friends, as brothers, since they decided to go to Brooklyn together. And if your brother were going through something like what Kyrie is going through, I would think you'd be talking every hour, every couple of hours. How notable is it that Kevin Durant said, "I haven't spoken to Kyrie in a few days"?
Well, I would imagine, and I don't know this for sure, but I would imagine that whatever sort of lobbying or pressuring or trying to convince him to make a different decision has already been done. And that at this point, you know, they're just moving on. And he's either going to come with them or he's not. And if you're Kevin Durant, I mean, the Nets had an unbelievable offseason. You know, you have James Harden. You got those two guys healthy. You've got a very deep team. You've got, you know, Blake Griffin. And you added Cam Thomas, who's looked good in the preseason. And all these role players, you know, Patty Mills can play point guard. So, like, if you're Kevin Durant and you've kind of already gone down this road, I think you just sort of wait for it to play out. I don't know what more he can really do at this point.
Is there an argument that Brooklyn should trade Kyrie even for 30 cents on the dollar. Like, listen, we're the favorite even without him. So let's just get whatever we can get with, you know, for him and be done with it.
Well, I've come around more to that point of view, especially since the news came out that they're not going to offer him a contract extension. That, you know, after this season, it's basically going to be over, whichever way it goes. So if they just kind of feel organizationally that he's not worth the trouble, or that it's just that he is so far sort of out there that it's going to be disruptive to whatever their plans are both this year and into the future, then yeah, try to trade him. The problem is, I'm not sure where you could trade him. I'm not sure who would take on not just the contract and giving up whatever assets it takes to get that, but there's not many teams, period, who are in a position where Kyrie Irving does a lot for them. And, you know, there's been this theory out there that maybe you just swap Ben Simmons for Kyrie Irving. Well, apparently, you know, Ben Simmons is going through the extended health and safety protocol himself as he re-enters Philly, which suggests that he's not vaccinated either. Now, nobody knows that for sure. I'm just saying that's what it looks like based on the protocols he's having to go through rather than just directly joining the team. So if it's not Philly, then who really benefits in a significant way by adding Kyrie Irving at the point in the franchise where Kyrie Irving would be a real difference maker?
Talking to Dan Walken from USA Today's on Twitter, at Dan Walken. You mentioned Ben Simmons. Interesting story connected to him today. According to sources, he acknowledged that he had a close contact with a masseuse in advance of Game 7 against the Hawks last season. And there's some thought that he did that, at least among his teammates, because he was trying to get to a point where he would be held out of the game for health and safety protocols. He did not want to play. I know you saw the story because I saw it because you retweeted it. What did you make of that obviously odd development, if indeed it's an actual development?
Well, with any other player in the NBA, you would say there's no way that's true. But with Ben Simmons, it has a grain of believability to it, because we know, based on how he played in that series and particularly in that Game 7, that he just didn't really want to be out there. You know, he did not play like he was invested in doing everything he could to win that series. He basically kind of tried to just hide for most of that series. So I don't know if it's true. I mean, Ramona Shelburne reported that for ESPN. I mean, Ramona's a good reporter. She's got really good sources. If there are people who are saying that they believe that that was the case, then I know that it's not coming from, you know, just random people. Like, Ramona's getting that from people close to that situation. So whether it's true or not, I don't know. But with Simmons, it certainly has the smell of believability, and it's just, you know, it's bizarre, but this whole thing has been bizarre.
When James Harden finally reported to Houston in advance of last season, he decided he was going to be disruptive, lazy, a problem to expedite his move out of Houston. How do you expect Ben Simmons to handle being back in Philadelphia? To be businesslike and do his job, or play the James Harden card and say, if you don't trade me, I'm just going to stay. You got to pay me because I'm here, but while I'm here, I'm going to be a prop.
Well, it all continues to be really weird, because he apparently didn't tell anyone he was coming back. He just sort of like showed up at the arena, and, you know, he's meeting with all these team officials, and he's not really saying much. And he's, you know, so he's got to go through several more days of, you know, ramp up and the COVID protocols. And so, you know, the regular season starts next week, and he's not really going to have much time to be with the rest of the team as it's been constructed throughout the preseason. So your guess is as good as mine. I just think he is so mentally, you know, so sort of difficult to predict where his head is at. How is he going to react if he does play and, you know, the fans in Philly just totally boo him? You know, how is he going to react if he goes out and shoots a couple air balls? You know, it's just hard to know, but I think we're in the same place we were weeks ago, which is Philly just right now doesn't have a good trading partner until one of these other star guys decides they want out.
Talking to Dan Wolkin from USA Today, let's switch to college football. Tomorrow night in Knoxville, Lane Kiffin returns. It'll be Ole Miss at Tennessee, with Ole Miss actually a 2.5-point favorite inside Neyland Stadium. I think we both know how Ben Simmons is going to be treated in Philadelphia. How do you know is Lane Kiffin going to be treated in Knoxville? Similarly?
I don't know. You know, because it's been so long. Lane's been back there as an assistant coach. It just seems to me it's a little bit of a non-event at this point. You know, I think there are even people who, the last couple times the Tennessee job's come open, have lobbied for Lane to get the job. And if Lane had gotten the job, I don't think it would have been controversial at all. You know, Lane's done a lot of things to fix his image or change his image over the years, and I think that includes Tennessee fans as well, who in retrospect recognize that Lane did a pretty good job for the time he was there and left for a job that anybody in his position would leave for. And it was just sort of a freaky, weird thing. So we talked about this on our podcast this week, The Football Fix. Like, I don't know if it's really going to be that big of a deal, because it's not, you know, when he was there as an assistant at Alabama, like, we kind of went through this once before. I know he wasn't a head coach, but it just doesn't feel to me like a big, big event.
It's interesting you described it the way you did, because I've sort of always viewed it that way. And perhaps it's because I'm not a Tennessee fan. I don't bleed orange. But I look at Lane Kiffin leaving Tennessee and I go, okay, that wasn't ideal after 1 year, but that happened to be the time that the USC job opened. No fault of Lane's. And then it was offered to him. And if you're Lane Kiffin, former USC assistant, and USC offers you the job, you have to take it, because A, it's a superior job, and B, you might not ever have it offered to you again. And so I wasn't surprised by Tennessee fans being outraged, but I can't say that I completely understood it if you remove emotion from it, because Lane Kiffin, like you said, did the same thing anybody in his position would have done under those set of circumstances.
Yeah, in retrospect, it's kind of funny, and Lane has even, I think, said this before, he probably shouldn't have taken the USC job. Now, we can look at it and say, yeah, it's a no-brainer to take it, but just sort of the time at USC, they were about to get the brunt of the NCAA sanctions, given his age and sort of immaturity, you know, it probably wasn't the best place for him at that time. Had he stayed at Tennessee, you know, he might have done something really interesting, something really fun. He might have built a really good program. He certainly, in his first year, seemed on the way to it, but it's hard to turn down. You know, it's hard to sort of process all of that and all the implications when it's right in front of you and you're in the moment. Given the benefit of hindsight, yeah, I think he should have stayed at Tennessee, and who knows how history would have changed. But you can't go back and redo it. And, you know, at the end of the day, I just think everybody around that situation probably has a little different perspective on it than at the time and in the immediate aftermath of when it happened.
Wrapping up here with Dan Wolkin from USA Today. Last thing before I let you go, in primetime on ESPN. Tomorrow night, it's number 5 Alabama down in Starkville at Mississippi State. Obviously, if you're a mediocre/bad Mississippi State team, there's no good time to be playing Alabama, but this seems like it might be just about the worst time.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think that certainly seems like it's the case. But at the same time, you know, this Alabama team has been kind of gettable, kind of vulnerable on the road, and you're on the road going into a probably pretty insane environment with all the cowbells and all that stuff in Mississippi State. And Saban has sort of, I think, lifted the curtain a little bit on some of the issues this team has had with focus, concentration, and, you know, he mentioned last night guys are getting bad sleep because they're on their phones and the internet all the time. And so I think there's just sort of a little bit of a struggle on the part of Saban and that coaching staff. And it is a young team in a lot of ways. And we're used to Alabama just sort of being this machine-like organization. Guys leave, you roll new people in, and they're just as good or better. But you know, this is just kind of one of those years, at least it seems at this point, that they're not quite as mature and they're not quite as ready. And so I don't know. If you're Mississippi State, maybe this is a good time to catch them. You know, maybe they're a little bit down on themselves. They're questioning themselves. And maybe they're just not as good on the road. And you're going to be in a situation where your energy, you might get up two touchdowns early and it might be a real battle. So it'll be interesting to see how it goes. This is not a normal year, it doesn't seem like, for Alabama. So, you know, I think if you're Mississippi State, that's how you have to look at it.
And it's Dan Walken from USA Today. Make sure you're reading him, usatoday.com. You can find him on Twitter, at Dan Walken. Thanks, buddy. Have a great weekend.
You too. See ya.
Bye-bye. That's Dan Walken from USA Today. When we come back, NLDS Classic Game 5 last night between the Dodgers and the Giants. It was tied 1-1 late. Cody Bellinger RBI single gives the Dodgers a 2-1 lead. And then they bring in Max Scherzer to close it out in the bottom of the ninth, and it ended on a controversial check swing. Looks like the first base umpire got it wrong. The idea that people were actually arguing the other side of this on Twitter is astonishing, but I guess I should just be smart enough to learn at this point there's always going to be somebody to argue the other side on Twitter. We'll talk baseball next. You're listening to Gary Parrish Show on 92.9 FM ESPN.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella is the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Guests appear on the Smile Center Hotline. Now, back to the Gary Parrish Show on 92.9 FM ESPN.
Okay, now they got me wanna rap again. Heal the wound and then you stab me in my back again. You the type to play the joke and try to hide your hand. Not the type to come around and try to play your friend. You the type to cut the grass and snake your bestest man. I'm the type to close the deal and cut my... See me in person, I look like a ghost. See me in person, I look like a ghost. Bow. You wanna come in and play with the goat? Bow. You wanna come in and play with the goat?
Goat body.
All you rap sound like me. Can't tell who is who. You got no real identity. Can't tell you from you. Price went up.
Yeah.
Angel investor.
Yeah.
Price went up. Angel investor. Okay. I'm not okay.
Jeff Calkins was inside Simmons Bank Memorial Stadium last night for the Tigers. Victory that snapped a 3-game losing streak. We'll talk Tiger football in the next segment. I got a Dateline preview coming up before we get out of here. It's a good one. It involves a cult. You know what the cult leader was called? Mother God.
Ooh.
Mother God.
Kooky.
And then she would randomly, you know, smash different guys, and whichever guy she was smashing at the time, guess what they called him? Father God.
Oh my goodness!
So all you had to do was nail this girl, and you get to be called Father God.
That's pretty cool.
That's awesome.
Yeah,
I'd have taken a shot, I think.
Yeah.
I mean, I'd like to be called Father God. That's my point.
Yeah, I get it.
But first, I got four stories I'd like to discuss.
Four stories at 444. Brought to you by Delta Dental of Tennessee. Covering your smile. Four notable stories at 444. Gary tends to lose focus, start telling stories, and forget what he wanted to talk about at certain points every afternoon. So we've developed a device that ensures he'll touch on important things you need to know each day at this time. This is GP's four notable stories at 444. Story number one.
What a baseball game we got last night. Big Ben Bennett, turned out I was right, by the way, in terms of what's going to be the most exciting thing to watch.
Yeah, for sure. There's no argument there.
Dodgers 2, San Francisco Giants 1. That was game 5 of a NLDS series. So the Dodgers advance to the NLCS, where they will meet the Atlanta Braves in a series that is going to start down in Atlanta because, believe it or not, the World Series favorite Dodgers were a wild card team. Just awesome. Every part of it last night was incredible. Logan Webb pitching into the 8th. Just awesome. Once again, he was, if the Giants would have won, probably going to be the NLDS MVP. And I tweeted this last night. It's just remarkable when you get these postseason baseball stories sometimes, and some of these guys that are on the biggest stage, like dominating the series, they make nothing because of the way baseball salaries are structured. Logan Webb, you know what he makes? $550,000.
Oh, wow.
I mean, I know that's like great for a normal person, but for a top shelf pitcher on the verge of leading a team to the NLCS, and for somebody who lives in San Francisco, $550,000 in San Francisco is close to nothing.
Right, no kidding.
And then, like, I was reminded, Randy Arozarena, remember he was the star of last year's playoffs?
Mm-hmm.
Made $90,000. $90,000.
Dang, man.
Like, you just don't, I don't think there would ever be a scenario where somebody'd be dominating the NBA playoffs and you'd look up and they make $550,000.
No.
It just would not happen. More likely they'd be. Now, it's not because baseball players don't make anything. There's a baseball pitcher who's not even allowed to pitch right now making $40 million. Baseball players, but you got to. The trick at baseball is you've got to be awesome early, like super early, like Fernando Tatis Jr.,
mm-hmm.
or you got to be awesome late. If you're awesome in the middle, and then they got club control on you, you cannot get the big payday that you probably deserve. It's just a weird way with the way baseball salaries are structured. So Logan Webb was terrific. Mookie Betts on the other side was terrific, 4-for-4 last night. Either way, we get into the 9th inning, and we're tied 1-1. And Vin Scully, the legendary Dodgers announcer, had already said this is the most important game in Giants-Dodgers history. And if Vin says it, I trust him.
Mm-hmm.
So now we're 9-9. I mean, we're in the ninth, tied 1-1. And Cody Bellinger, who struggled all season, gets an RBI single to put the Dodgers up 2-1. And here comes Max Scherzer out of the bullpen, going to try to close it. Never closed a game. He's never recorded a save before. Here he comes. And things start out okay, but then Justin Turner fumbles a ball at third. So now the Giants got a runner on first. And it ultimately leads to two outs, runner on. So tying run on base, winning run at the plate. And it happens to be Wilmer Flores, who I love. I love Wilmer Flores, former Met. He signed with the Mets when he was 16 years old. And he famously had that moment back in 2015 where he thought he was getting traded and he started crying on the field. Do you remember this at all?
Yeah, I do vaguely.
So 2015,
yeah.
It is reported, erroneously, but reported, that he's getting traded. The deal's not done. It's 2015 when the Mets go to the World Series. Deal's not done. But everybody in the stadium's got, you know, cell phones.
Mm-hmm.
They're all seeing this trade being reported on social media. So Wilmer Flores, like, runs out the short or wherever he happened to be playing, maybe third, in the infield. And the fans give him a standing ovation. He's like, what? He didn't quite grasp what's happening. And then it's like, we love you, Wilmer. We're going to miss you, Wilmer. He starts crying on the field. Realizing he's going to get traded. But he never gets traded.
Oh, that sucks.
But he's playing with tears in his eyes.
Yeah.
So I love somebody who cares that much.
Sure.
I love Wilmer Flores. So if I'm being honest, last night I wanted the Dodgers to win. Because I just think the Dodgers, the reigning World Series champions, playing deeper into the playoffs, I just think it's more interesting.
Mm-hmm.
people don't care about the Giants. But the Dodgers are the Dodgers. They got Mookie Betts, and they got Max Scherzer, and they got these big, big names. So I wanted the Dodgers to win. But then you get to a point where it's Wilmer Flores has a chance to be the hero. Now I kind of want Wilmer Flores to win. So I'm conflicted. But either way, I'm just having a good time watching. So it gets to 0-2 because Max Scherzer is awesome. And Wilmer Flores check swings. Ump calls it a ball, says he didn't go. But then they check it down to first. And the first base umpire, this guy, says he swung. Strike three. Game over. And very quickly, there were replays done, and there was still shots posted on social media. And the truth is, he just did not swing.
No, he didn't.
Gabe Morales at first base just blew it. And for the life of me, I don't know why you would want to put yourself in that situation if you're Gabe Morales. Because, like, let's just play it out alternatively, the way it could have played out. You got to be thinking about these things, I think, if you're at first or third as an umpire, because they might point to you and you got to make a call. Obviously, if it's clear he swung, you call him out. But here's the truth. If it's clear he swung, probably doesn't even get to you. Home plate umpire calls him out.
Mm-hmm.
So I swear, and I'm not sure they teach you this in any umpiring school, but this is the way I think I'd handle that if I'm Gabe Morales at first base. You point to me. The only reason you point to me is because the home plate ump says he didn't swing. In this moment, you point to me, I'm saying he didn't swing either. If I'm right, then great. We got it right. Even if I'm wrong, I'm not wrong alone. It means the home plate umpire was wrong with me. We were both wrong. So it ain't just about me.
Sure.
And even if you're wrong, here's the truth. Much as I love Wilmer Flores, he's probably going to get out on the next pitch.
Right.
And then the game's over and it's not about you at all. But instead, this guy, Gabe Morales, he says he swung. Game over. And you take the bat out of Wilmer Flores' hands. You can't let a game end like that. You can't make yourself the story. And there's such an easy way to avoid being the story if you're Gabe Morales. He just got caught in the moment. And it makes it worse when basically everybody on Twitter agrees right. that he did not
yeah.
swing. And I even saw Joe Sheehan, who joins us on the show every once in a while, say, wow, this might be the one thing. This Wilmer didn't swing might be the thing that brings Twitter together. Because there was really nobody trying to say, well, I think he did swing. He so clearly didn't. He held it. And then I wake up this morning, and people are making nonsensical arguments to try to rationalize what happened last night. I got people tweet me. You know what they say? They said, well, GP, don't you know Wilmer Flores was 0-17 lifetime against Max Scherzer? They face each other a lot because Max was with the Nationals, Wilmer with the Mets, NLS East teams. They play 19 times a year. They've seen each other a lot. Wilmer, 0-17 all-time with 8 strikeouts against Max Scherzer. So they say, Wilmer Flores 0-17 against Max Scherzer. He ain't getting a hit off Max Scherzer. So it doesn't matter. Do you swing or not? Game's over anyway. Which, on one hand, I hear you. On the other hand, what are you talking about? I mean, is that the new thing in baseball? If you've never got a hit off somebody, you only get 2 strikes?
Right.
Well, you know, Wilmer Flores is 0-17, so why even go to the plate? Let's just start celebrating now. Game over. You go to the plate, you get 3 strikes. Wilmer Flores didn't get 3 strikes last night. And to try to rationalize that error by saying, well, he probably wasn't going to get a hit anyway. Well, that goes for any baseball player in any situation. No player is expected to get a hit ever when they're at the plate.
Mm-hmm.
Although Barry Bonds made me think about it, question it sometimes. By definition, every player has a less than 50% chance to ever get a hit. And you never hear people say, ah, well, you know, it doesn't matter if the ball was 7 inches off the plate and they caught it strike 3. Probably wasn't going to get a hit anyway. And yet people were trotting that out last night on this Wilmer Flores deal. Well, he probably wasn't going to get a hit anyway because he's 0-7 against Max. So what difference does it make? The team that was going to win won. I do agree. The team that was probably going to win won. Not like that, though. You cannot take the bat out of his hands like that. You cannot end a series between rivals, between the two winningest teams in Major League Baseball. You can't end it with a check swing called out at first base. especially when it's so blatantly wrong. So shame on that umpiring crew last night for ripping what could have been an incredible ending away from us. Went to bed disappointed in the way the umpires handled that situation.
Story number two.
Got another good baseball game tonight. Red Sox Astros ALCS game one. Chris Sale against Framber Valdez. Incredible pitching matchup. Should be wild down in Houston. And the Red Sox are a good story to even be in this spot, but they are significant underdogs tonight. They're you know, Houston's minus 140. And then in the series, Houston is minus 145. So if you're wondering what is the likely World Series matchup we're going to get, looks like it's going to be Dodgers-Astros. I mean, it could be any combination, obviously. Mm-hmm. It's only four teams left, and they're all good. Can't get here without being good. But if things break the way they're supposed to break, we should have a Dodgers-Astros World Series.
That'd be fun.
That'd be awesome.
Yeah.
That'd be awesome. Because the Dodgers hate the Astros.
Oh, yeah.
They cheated them.
Yep.
So that would be incredible. But, like, baseball's so tricky. Like, the Astros are the better team, and the Astros are favored tonight. But the guy throwing for the Red Sox is Chris Sale, and sometimes he just gets unhittable.
Right.
And so if he has one of those nights where he's unhittable, well, then you got big problems. Of course, it's hard to make the Astros unhittable, especially at Minute Maid Park. I mean, the White Sox were levying allegations against them last week,
mm-hmm.
and the Astros got upset about that. They're like, listen, we're not cheating anymore. And the White Sox like, well, you sure do. The swings look a lot different at home than they do on the road. So we'll see what happens, but Red Sox-Astros series starts tonight. Game one, you'll be able to watch it on Fox.
Story number three.
NCAA announced earlier today that they are recommending that initial eligibility standards for high school students preparing to play Division I or Division II sports no longer include a standardized test score requirement. Do you realize this is the only thing that made Memphis vacate the 2008 Final Four appearance in the national championship game? Because Derrick Rose had his standardized test score retroactively voided by the testing administer, and then Memphis was held to a strict liability clause that has never been used before or since. I mean, before or since. And so Memphis is not allowed to have a 2008 banner inside FedEx Forum. It's ridiculous. Like, whatever happens to Memphis this time, Memphis did this to itself. We've been over that. But that one, that's ridiculous. To retroactively void a standardized test score is incredible. Incredible. To then tie it to, well, then the whole entire season is vacated. And what makes it even worse is that if the NCAA now gets its way, that won't even matter. You won't even have to have a standardized test score to play basketball, football, or anything else. And I've been for this for a long time. Because there's a lot of evidence to suggest standardized testing is racially biased. If you want to research it, just Google, why is standardized testing racially biased? And you can read all about it. But secondly, I just have never believed the NCAA needed to be in the...
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.